Yes, no CHIST data on the immigrant community project yet. So, all right, well, thank you. I also want to thank Nettie for the frame. You'll notice a comparison there. I stole her background. Okay, it's a little bit of background. The first two presentations dealt with both immigrant children and immigrants overall. And usually our image of immigrants, rightly so, is that of working age families. Most immigrants come to the United States looking for work. That also is family formation time. And so typically when we are looking at immigrant policy, we're really talking about younger family policy. But as Dr. Prupp mentioned, immigrants do age, and eventually they become old immigrants. And there are also some populations that come in older ages. So it's important to also look at older adults in the immigrant population as well. The most recent data shows there are about 4.5 million older adults, age 65 and over, who are born abroad. That's about 12% of all immigrants. So immigrants are young, but there's a sizable number. And about 500,000 of those immigrant elders came in the last 10 years. So those are older adults who came pretty much as older adults. They came at least age 55, sometimes older, from a variety of countries. Those typically are family reunification. Older adults, they're typically not in the labor force. So there's some diversity within that as well. The graph simply shows of current older adults who are immigrants in the United States, the era that they came in. So the pre-1964, which was the big immigration reform, 1965, about 1.6 million, so about a third of those came before 1964. These are each 15-year periods. This was big Indo-Chinese immigration, and we continue to have immigration today. I mentioned the 1965 change in immigration law, and you can really see where immigrants have come from among older adults as a result of that law. So before 1964, the majority of immigrants were from Europe. And I've talked to a number of reporters who really focus in California on Mexican immigrants. And they're always shocked when I say that the largest number of immigrants who came a long time ago, so if you look at the oldest old, the 80, 85-year-olds, they're disproportionately European, Germany, Italy, countries like that after World War II. So to forget today as we tromp around Europe that Europe was pretty destroyed during World War II and a lot of refugees came during that period. Post-65, we see a decrease in the proportion of older immigrants who are European, a growth in Latin American, and then a very large growth in Asian immigrants. So there is actually a fairly large number of non-Hispanic white older immigrants in the country. So we often think of immigrants in a very different manner. There's a lot of political issues surrounding immigrants and healthcare, and in fact, after the labor force issues, probably the number one issue is healthcare for immigrants, and both of the two previous presentations talked a little bit about that. California is a good place to look at, as we were told, immigrants in general. It's also the number one location, which should be no surprise, for older immigrants. California has 10% of all the elderly in the United States, but it's got over a quarter of all the immigrant elders in the United States. So heavy immigrant population. And unlike the previous two presentations, undocumented status is not as important an issue for older adults, so I'm actually not looking at undocumented status. There are two ways that older adults gain documentation status. One is through being sponsored by children who are U.S. born, so if they've started families here, even if they're undocumented, by the time their children become adults, their children can sponsor them. And for those older adults who come here as older adults, not many 65-year-olds walk across the Arizona border, so they're mostly brought over here legally by their children. So documentation status is not the issue for this group. So a couple research questions. How does emergency room use, I'm looking specifically at just one outcome, differ between immigrants and native-born older adults? Emergency rooms, for some reason, seem to generate the most political heat. I'm not quite sure why. But older adults, you would expect, being sicker, would be the most likely group to use emergency rooms. So looking at emergency room use between immigrants and native-born, how that differs for, I used ethnicity as a proxy for country of origin. So Latino immigrants are 99% from Latin America, Asian older immigrants are 90% from Asia. Looking at how family living arrangements impacts the use of emergency rooms, and then a little bit on the policy issues. So as with the other two surveys, I use the California Health Interview Survey. I use the 2007 California Health Interview Survey. And a couple features that I'll mention, since this is also a CHIS promotional session, I use the public use file. The analyses that I have done, any of you can do. If you go to www.healthpolicy.ucla.edu, there's a button you click for CHIS, and then you register, and you can download over the internet a public use file that has all of the data that I'm going to present. The two presentations that dealt with undocumented immigrants, that's a sensitive topic, needless to say, for confidentiality. And so that data has to be run in a secure data center. So you can get access to it. Once again, there's instructions on the CHIS website about how you do that. Basically, what you do is you write the computer code, you mail it, email it to them. They'll run it for you. Make sure that there's nothing identifiable, you know, so you don't like list every respondent by all their characteristics. And then they'll email it back to you. So the Data Access Center includes information on documentation status. It's geocoded. I haven't seen Alex's presentation yet, but he did some analysis by immigrant enclaves, so you can actually look at the zip code or census tract level, and there's some other variables that are considered sensitive. So, but this one you can, any of you could do. All right, so as was mentioned earlier, it's done in several languages. This is particularly important for older adults, because when you look at older adults from Asia, about 80% are limited English. Older adults from Latin America, about 40% are limited English. So if you're not doing the survey in language, you're missing really important parts of the population. So when looking just for 1 year, age 65 and over, there were 1,200 Latinos, 44% immigrant. There were almost 1,000 older Asian Americans, 80% of them were immigrant. And a large group of non-Latino whites, only 8% of them were immigrant. But there's so many non-Latino whites, these actually ended up with fairly similar sample sizes of immigrant older adults. So as I mentioned, the dependent variable was any emergency room use in the past year, and looked at the standard, as Arturo would say, standard predisposing, enabling, and need variables. So what do you think? Emergency room use, higher or lower among immigrants? How many say higher? How many say, no, okay, you saw the two previous presentations, you're paying attention. Good for you. Okay, this is also true among older adults. At the simple bivariate level, immigrants from Mexico and immigrants from other Latin America and immigrants from Asia all have statistically significant lower use of emergency room in the past year than either immigrant or US-born whites. So what's interesting is that the immigrants from primarily Europe, Canada, have similar patterns as US-born, but the immigrant groups from Asia and South America all have substantially less use of emergency rooms at the bivariate level. Now, we all know that populations differ by important characteristics. We're only looking at older adults, so you would think that some of the differences would shrink than if you looked at, say, entire populations. But both Latino and Asian immigrants are on the younger end of the elderly spectrum, so there's more age 65 to 74 than among both the white immigrants, non-Latino white immigrants, and U.S. native born. The curve of immigration is more recent, so they're a younger population. Education varies dramatically. So among Latino immigrant elders, two-thirds have less than a high school education. Two-thirds of all older adults from Latin America have less, do not have a high school degree, less than a high school education. Among older US-born Latinos, still shockingly high, 45% have no high school degree. Asian immigrants, 23% have no high school degree. White immigrants, 12, native whites, 10, and Asian natives, 9. So huge differences in educational profile. Among all groups, the majority have, or the most common type of health insurance is Medicare HMO. The Asian and Latino immigrants also have high Medicaid rates, about 40% have Medicaid. Self-reported health is poor among both U.S.-born and immigrant Latinos and Asian immigrants. So once again, the point here is that there's differences in patterns. So the simple bivariate, the simple observational patterns may not hold. There's a variety of health needs. Diabetes is highest among U.S.-born Latinos, but also high among immigrant Latinos. Heart failure is most common among whites. So you look, there's a variety of health need differences. And we also looked at delay of care, delaying using a doctor or delaying getting prescription drugs. And actually, there's very little difference in the reported delay. Okay, so I crammed into one slide all of the important information, differences in presentation approach. So the very first bar here on each of these groups, the comparison, the reference group is white, U.S.-born white. So unadjusted, these are logistic regression odds ratios. Immigrant Latinos, unadjusted, are about 40% less likely to have an emergency room use than U.S.-born whites. Asian immigrants, as you can see, similarly low, and these are all statistically significant. Immigrant whites are no different than U.S.-born whites, and actually Native Latinos, unadjusted, are slightly higher. Native Asians are statistically the same. When you add predisposing variables, which are age and gender, doesn't make a whole lot of difference. When you add enabling variables, including health insurance type, education, income, actually, interestingly enough, income falls out. Income's not a predictor in any of these models. The difference grows. So controlling for income, there's actually a larger difference. And then when you put in need, so the types of factors that might drive emergency room use, including self-assessed health, chronic conditions, disability, mental illness, the numbers go up a little closer, but they really don't change dramatically. If you look across both Latino immigrants and Asian immigrants, remain a little over half the rate of emergency room use as Native whites. And so this is an interesting phenomenon that I think somebody should study, maybe me, is why are immigrant whites so different, right? So immigrant whites really don't look any different than Native whites, even though they are immigrants. So there's something else going on here. If you look at the model fits, logistic regression doesn't have very good model fitting statistics, but people use pseudo R squares. They're not bad for the immigrant groups, about 20-25%. Native whites, it's not as good. And then just as a real quick summary, rather than going through charts, which are hard to show, it's just a little summary. So for most groups, the older you get, the more likely you are to use an emergency room. Sort of makes sense. If you're 85 and have chest pain, you're probably more likely to go to an emergency room than if you're 65 and think it just might be heartburn, except for Latinos. Gender made no difference in any group once you controlled for everything else. Education in a few groups. Family status did have some significance, and it was a different type of family status for each group. I'll talk about that in a minute. And different types of insurance, as you would expect. Self-reported health, sicker you were, the more likely you were to use emergency rooms, except for Latinos. So the complexity here is that when you do stratified analyses, there's different predictors for each group, which makes a more difficult story to tell. And for most groups, reporting that you delayed getting medication that you needed, reported emergency room use. So these, to me, suggest that there's barriers in accessing healthcare, and that people who are delaying healthcare wait until things get really bad, and then they end up in the emergency room, except for Latinos. So this is the family status. As you can see, immigrant whites and U.S.-born whites typically either live alone, about a third, or live with a spouse. So you're talking here about three-quarters of all whites, both immigrant and native-born, are either living alone or with a spouse. Latinos and Asians are more alike and different than the non-Latino white. Much higher rates of, so this is an abbreviation. This is a couple, so this is married couple, man, woman, married, living in a household with at least one other person. So this is typically, some of these could be older adults who are taking care of grandchildren, but mostly these are older adults living with adult children. And these are single older adults living in family sizes of at least three. So the questions in CHIST makes it kind of difficult to say exactly who they're living with, at least on the puff. But you can assume that this group is living with other children also. So a large proportion of immigrant Asians and Latinos are living with extended families. And for Latinos, this group here is less likely to go to the emergency room. And for white immigrants, this group is less likely to go to emergency rooms. So there are some questions about how living arrangements might be protective. What's interesting is that in this group here, the single older adults living in an extended family, they're more likely to go to the emergency room. There's some data that suggests that among US-born whites, co-residence is driven by health, and among immigrants, it's more driven by economics. So that would explain the increase here. Why it's protective in some of the immigrant groups would be a good study for some qualitative data. All right, so what does all this mean? Latino and Asian immigrant older adults use emergency rooms less often than native immigrants and immigrant non-Latino whites. So once again, the hand-wringing about immigrants overusing emergency rooms and pushing healthcare costs up, particularly in older age where you've got higher rates of disease, is not supported. The other interesting aspect is even after you control for all the predictors of emergency room use, you still don't really change the relationship between immigration and use of emergency room use. So there are other factors that were not in these models that are explaining the lower use of emergency room use. In all groups, barriers, the not seeking care in a timely manner, contributes to the use of emergency room use. So is this good or bad? So typically in health services research, if we have lower use compared to the reference group, non-Latino, white, insured, we say this is bad. They're being kept away from emergency room use. Do we want everybody to use emergency rooms? No. If you're having a heart attack or a stroke, do you want to use an emergency room? Right, so there is, it's hard to say exactly where the standard should be. But if we use the non-Latino white rate for somebody who's got decent insurance and hopefully is not overusing it, then there are troublesome barriers to emergency room use for Latino and Asian immigrants. It could be, if you look at a lot of immigrant communities, the emergency rooms in Los Angeles have, the latest data for County USC was an average of 12-hour wait when you go into the emergency room. So that tends to discourage the use of emergency rooms, not because you don't need it, but because of other barriers for the use. The different types of associations of different need with emergency rooms raises questions. For Latinos, diabetes was a predictor of emergency room use. Is that because of the poor control of diabetes, which is a major issue for Latinos? And why was emergency room use not associated with falls? So if somebody falls, hopefully they would seek medical care. And if it's injury, they, in theory, should be using emergency room use. So the bottom line is older immigrants are not overusing emergency rooms. That's no surprise. That was the title of the presentation. Also has some other implications for healthcare reform. I was thinking as Arturo was speaking, in California, we'll be moving all older adults into Medicaid managed care if they're on Medicaid. And that's going to change the patterns of utilization. And there's a lot of changes actually in Medicare that are coming up as a part of healthcare reform that will have some implications for access to care for immigrants. So it's important to think about older immigrants when you're thinking about these issues in addition to younger families. And in some of the healthcare services use, there may be some barriers to deal with. Thank you.